Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, I'm very excited about today's episode and for you to take a listen to it. I had the pleasure of interviewing, and we're actually doing an episode swap and share with Jason Petty, a.k.a. Prop, who is the host of Hood Politics over on iHeart. And I'm really excited because the conversation, you know, we really covered a lot of ground in talking about Black participation in politics, Prop's thoughts on why mistakenly there are some Black men that support Donald Trump and why that's problematic. We talk about, you know, voter suppression. We talk about, you know, Democratic messaging. We talk about so much because what I really love about Hood Politics and Prop's show is that he makes politics accessible to everybody. He's like, if you have been hustling on the corner or a former member of a gang or you are, you know, formerly incarcerated, like, you understand politics. You understand politics probably more than most. And trying to engage people in a way that doesn't make it feel like this is for somebody else, that this is actually about your life and how politics plays such a huge part in your life, right? And so I think that the conversation is extraordinarily rich. I really hope that you all enjoy it. Please let me know in the comment sections what you think about the things that we cover. And also check out Prop's show, Hood Politics, also with iHeart. Folks, I am super excited to be doing a crossover episode with a fellow iHeart podcaster, a fellow Politico. Jason Petty, a.k.a. Propaganda, who is the host of Hood Politics. I love what you say under the description of the show, which is basically like, you know, if you've ever, you know, been in a gang, if you've ever like been in the street, if you know, you know, anything about that, then you know politics.
Facts. Yeah.
And I think that that for me, I was just like, oh, how opening is that? Like,
yeah.
Because the way that politics is discussed has always been this very narrow, you need to have a degree, you need to have this, like all of this kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And what you're offering is like, no, politics is for all of us, for every yeah. one of us. So talk to me, I guess, about how your show got started and why.
Yeah, dude, first of all, thank you. for reaching out and making this happen. Yeah, like whether it's like you were in a gang or you ran from them, you know, the interactions, the ways for which you had to learn to navigate just to survive the world that we're in is like we're made to feel like we don't know what we're talking about. And the more that I became more formally educated, the more I was like, man, a lot of this, I feel like I know a lot of this already. You know what I mean? I didn't know these words or these terms, you know?
Right. Right.
And then when I, before I was doing like music and podcasts and stuff, before I was doing that full time, I was teaching high school. I was teaching at juvenile halls. And so if you're teaching in juvie, like, I mean, if anything, it's like, I'm just trying to figure out how to keep y'all engaged, you know? And so as I was finding, I was like, man, I'm pulling from my own past. I'm pulling from experiences they had. And I'm like, dude, it's like, we really know more than we think we do, you know? And, and I think ultimately, like you said, like, I'm super passionate about the fact that like politics, that may be the name of it, but they're discussing our lives. Like,
right.
You're discussing things that in a lot of ways don't even affect them. It affect us. So, and then with the mama and auntie and them would say the unmitigated gall to act like I'm not worthy to be in this conversation because I ain't got the vocabulary you got. Like, I'm like, this is absurd. You're discussing my life, you know? So, so I feel like the more that like what I wanted to do was come in and really like translate that, you know, for us, you know what I mean? And you know what I mean when I say us, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to translate that to, and hopefully to like, I want to onboard you. Like I'm like, why shouldn't Pookie and them run for city council? You know what I mean? Yep. Like you know the streets better than the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? Like we talk a lot about like I explained the difference between like real political power and like astroturfing. Like, you know, I already know, like, you know, your uncle, your auntie and them could send out a text to be like, hey, we're gonna be at the park on Saturday. You got 50 people there. Like that's real power. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I wanted people to like to participate in something that has much more to do about their lives than they think it do, you know, and that you're actually way more equipped than you think you are.
Yeah, I think that that's right. And I also think that the narrative around politics has been set up in a way to make people feel like, no, you go ahead and vote in these representatives. Right.
Yeah.
Who know more, who are smarter than you, who will figure things out so that you don't have to bother yourself with them or educate yourself in any type of way. I actually put up a post on Broke Ass Twitter recently because I said that, you know, I was a fellow on Capitol Hill. I worked for a member of Congress. That's how I got like first started in
politics. That was going to be my next question, too.
Yeah. That's how I first got started. And this is 100 years ago. And I had such reverence for Capitol Hill. I had such reverence for these members of Congress. And now you look at these people and they are absurdly like clowns. It's a travesty, right? Yeah. Like how ignorant they are and how much they are celebrating, you know, that ignorance. And so for me, it's like, no. If we were to rename politics, it would be like called, you know, your daily life, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Right? Like if we were to say like, it's not politics, it's your day. You are voting on what? Your day-to-day life.
It's your day-to-day life.
And when it's your day-to-day life.
When you see these dudes, like when you see them up close, you're just like, oh, nigga, you're 12. And you're just trying to get put on. So you're saying whatever you need to say so you could stay put on. It's so like you, like, man, that's so true. When you see it up close and it's like, oh fam, you haven't read these briefs. Like you didn't read it. Like, so I'm like, oh, I'm more informed than you are. Yeah. When you see it up close. Yeah. It's like the facade falls. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's what people, and that's why I really like the onboarding, the opening up that your show is offering, because we need more people, not less, to be involved. And I think that the way that the Republicans, their strategy has been, let us just throw a bunch of shit at the wall. Let us exhaust as many people as we possibly can. Let's overwhelm, right, the system with crazy. And then those that would likely be to tap in will tap out because they just don't have the bandwidth for it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that it's, I think that it's important, one, for people to recognize that that's a strategy, the overwhelm, the ignorance, that it isn't just by accident.
Brilliant. What do you think that that's like, do you find that like your show has sort of the same kind of like ethos, like you're like the point you're trying to make is that like you're smarter than you think you are. Is that kind of it?
Yeah,
like, I listen to a lot of your shows and it's like, first of all, you're brilliant. Like, let me just say that, number one.
Thank
like,
you very much.
Sister's brilliant. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And I love the like, you know, part of me with, listeners can take this however they want, but like the sound of Black women being fully Black women is like a warm blanket for me. So to just to hear you speak naturally, you know what I'm saying? Broke ass shit. Like, I'm like, that's, I need like that. I need that. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. I think that for me, Woke AF started out, the show started out of anger. It was a response to Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. So the show launched in 2016 or 2017 rather. And what I will say is that for me, I wanted people to recognize that they have more power than they think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That this game, that these white, old, you know, rich, straight men are playing, it is a game about power. And the way that they take power from you is to make you believe you have none.
Yes.
Right. And so my show has always been about raising consciousness, like no, you see why your school board looks the way it does, it's because you didn't show up to the school board meeting. But you know who always shows up? The 70-year-old racist white people that live in your neighborhood. They're the ones that are always going to show up because they have time.
She got time,
and they are making the time to do it, right? So the reason why certain things look the way they do is because those people, they are committed to their racism. They are committed to hatred, and they will do and stop at nothing in order to make sure that the system remains the way it is. So for me, it's about raising people's consciousness and saying, no. Yes, the place that we're in is incredibly overwhelming and incredibly dark and incredibly frustrating. But at the end of the day, we have more numbers. We have the numbers. Yeah. We have the people, right? The people just need to wake the fuck up.
Wake up. Yeah. I love that you called it woke. One, because like it's before the name was stolen from us and gentrified.
Correct. Like, I was going to say, I'm like, it was before it became like,
before they stole it and redefined it, which is another thing that they do, which is another like move of power to like take something that sounds familiar and redefine it and then give it back to us as if we don't know what we're talking about. You know, so I love that you like kept the name to be like, no, you don't get it. I'm not just going to let you have this. Like, nah. Yeah. I think too, like what I picked up from a lot of a few of your episodes is really and about the example that you gave is the fact that like as broken as the system is, like it does work, you know, which is why such an effort to disenfranchise us, you know, even if you go back to like Reconstruction and like why we were disenfranchised from voting is because when we did, you know what I mean? Why are there at least five Black neighborhoods under lakes? Because it works, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to lock us out, to convince us that we don't know what we're talking about is because why you don't show up at the, you know, like you said, the school boards, or why to be like, oh, okay, well, let's make sure voting polls are only between the hours of 10 and 4. You know what I'm saying? Why everybody's at work? It's because it works.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I constantly say on the show every time that we're coming up on an election and all elections is that no one tries to steal anything that isn't worth something.
Yes.
So if people are trying to steal your vote, mm-hmm. AKA voter suppression,
yeah.
It is because your vote is valuable.
Because it works.
Right.
Yep.
If people are trying to throw out your ballots, mm-hmm. right, it is because your voice is valuable.
Yeah.
Right. Because nobody tries to steal something that is of no value to
facts.
Them.
Man, did you guys have the fake ballot boxes around your way?
No. I live in New York.
Oh, word.
So, I'm like, I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So that's not gonna happen.
We saw them around Cali. Like I'm in LA, like East LA, and we saw them. Obviously, it was targeted because this is like a black and brown neighborhood. So you would put them over here. But for me, it was funny. Like that is so funny to me how like it's like you have to you looking at somebody like, yo, that's your man's, like get your man's, like word, like this is really, is this your king, this what y'all doing, y'all put fake?
Yeah, yep,
this is, it was funny to me that like, oh man, it's just like I know clearly like consistency doesn't matter to these people or how corny you look, but I'm like, that is corny. Like mm-hmm. there is something about, I feel like us people of color in general, like we have there's a code that we live by. And like, part of that code is like, what I'm not going to be is corny.
Right.
Like, that's corny, you know?
Right. Because you don't have the ability to actually, like, basically what you're saying is you ain't shit. And you actually have to, you have to go to these incredible lengths in order to cheat. Because if it was just based on merit alone, you would not win.
Talk your shit. Yeah,
right. Like so, and I feel like if folks were to talk about the Republican Party in that way and being like, they are just objectively corny as fuck.
It's just
like they don't have the swag, they don't have the ability, they don't have the intellect, they don't have the charisma. What they do have an abundance of is hate. And the ability to cheat and do so unchecked, right? In a lot of ways, because their whiteness protects them. And so I want to talk to you about 2024 and the Black vote and what I'm hearing. And I want to hear like what you're hearing from the people that listen to you. But Black people, particularly, and I'll say older Black people and younger Black people, are really frustrated with Joe Biden for a myriad of reasons. And one of them, right, like there was just recently an article in the New York Times and an advertisement that was put out by like 1,000 Black pastors and churches that are calling for a ceasefire, that are saying, how can you talk about the soul of this nation and fighting for democracy? And this is what our money is going to fund. Mm-hmm. On top of that, just, you know, Are you once again using us, right, in a way that we've been used before? We know what the stakes are, right? You don't have to tell us about what happens if Donald Trump becomes president again. Black people live this, right? Yes. Like we are very aware. And so, you know, my question for you is, what are you hearing? Because I hear a mix of, I'm going to vote my values.
Yeah.
And they're saying this now, and it's, you know, we're in February, right? Mm-hmm. We're still 9 early. Months away. Yeah. It's still very early. But what are you hearing from folks that are listening to you?
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot, like it's kind of all over the board. And what I've noticed is, at least among Black people, your socioeconomic status has actually played a bigger deciding factor that I found. Like, generally, I have found Black people as a community, when it comes to our votes and our politics, it's very transactional, in the sense that, like, I don't have to like any of y'all. What you gonna do for us, you know? And if you could show and prove, like, if I can honestly say, like, my life is better, my children are better, we not being locked up, like, we not being hunted, you know what I'm saying? Like, you doing something about, you know, police brutality, you doing something about our money, you doing something about our community, then it's like, word, whatever, you know what I'm saying? At least, and you don't sound, at least you're not talking racist, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, at least you're not saying it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, stuff be super transactional that I found at the same time, like, so with that said, like, we're centrist. Like, we're not very progressive, where it's just like, I don't know, I don't talk all that. Cause my dad was a Black Panther. So like, for me, a lot of times when I start talking, like the homies is like, oh, here we go. You know, he on that revolutionary, you know what I'm saying? So like, there's like that, you feel me? And then at the other side, if they are gonna be, obviously it's like it's mask off with the Republicans. So they like, well, it's mask off with y'all. So like, that's like kind of a non-starter. But what I found is, when you feel like we're not getting back, like we've given the Democratic Party so much, and we haven't received, you know, what you said you was going to give us at this point, it's like, well, I mean, at least I know what it is with the Republicans. At least I know what it is. And then your default is to become selfish and be like, well, I'm just going to get mine. Like, I'm just going, I thought it was about us. I thought it was squad. It's not about us. Okay, word. And I'm just going to get mine. At least I know what it is. You just want money. Okay, word. Me too.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Right.
So I found that a lot of times like, it's like, well, since clearly I don't trust none of y'all's morals anyway, then I'm like, okay, who gonna get me to the bag faster? Has been what I have found. Now, to your point, as far as age demographic, I feel like Gaza could cost Joe the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with the stuff that, like, because again, it was like you was talky when we started, you know, and yeah, like I was like, at least you could say, well, at least he not finna like bomb somebody to the Stone Age, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, bro, now you doing that, like,
right,
bro, right. Like, come on, fam, you know. So, so yeah, both of us in our, you know, coastal enclaves, obviously, like our lenses are enclave, yeah, right. Our lenses are pretty distorted, so like I have to try my best to get out of that. But like what I have found, especially what's crazy, what I have found is like Trump resonates with like hood dudes, like street,
I don't get it.
I don't agree, but I get it.
What is it?
Because they recognize that he's a boss. Like, this is a gangster. They're like, well, you're just, I understand this. You're just a gangster. It's like, but I'm never wrong.
But there's no code. There's no honor. He throws his own fucking clique under the bus. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no honor there.
I know. But it's like, you niggas should have fell in line.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, I get it. Like, you supposed to fall in line. Like, I told you what we was doing. This was the system. This what we doing. You fall in line. You stay loyal. We good. You know. But I agree too, because I'm just like, I agree too. Like, man, well, but like, but when it come down to it, you gonna let all your boys go to prison for you? Like, I don't understand that. But they're like, bro, it's like mob stuff. That's mob stuff. Like, you supposed to be able to. You supposed to, like, if we all own. You supposed to take your 10. You supposed to take your 5-10 years. I'm gonna put money on your books. I'm gonna make sure your family good. I'm gonna put that on.
But that's not what he does.
But he's not what he's doing.
That's not what I'm saying. Like, so I'm saying, like, if you are, because I cannot pretend to know the ins and outs of anybody's of gang life, of street life, of anything. Yeah. But what I will say, the little snippets that I've seen and heard, it's like, whether I agree with it or not, there is a code. You protect your own. Like, this is our clique, this is our tribe, this is whomever. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, if somebody does go away, like, we're gonna do our best to make sure that, like, they're taken care of, yeah. You know, and then when that person comes out, that we're gonna try and give them what it is that, you know, mm-hmm. we held on to them or whatever. And I'm just like, so just in that vein, right?
I'm with
That's
you.
Not like, who I, this man is.
I agree. I mean, I feel like if you don't, like, they're also not, I mean, it's not like they sitting down and like following all 91 charges. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just know what this dude's putting out, which is like, I'm the boss. Like, this is what I do. You know what I mean? And I can get it from a cursory standpoint. And then even among that community, there's diversity of thought. There are dudes that are like, nah, like you said, this man ain't got no honor. Like, you know, the more that you see him up close, you're like, this man ain't got no honor. You realize all of it's cap. Like, he's not a millionaire. He's not a billionaire. It's not really his money, you know. But that's the type of stuff that I feel like that's where me and you come in, where we sit down and say, now, hold on now. Like, that's
right.
This
because
cap,
I'm because
that's
I,
cap.
Yeah.
Not true. Right. Not true. Now, you make your own decision. You know what I'm saying? At the end
Correct.
Of that. But like,
but do it with actual information and not just the things that he's putting out.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're wrapping on time, but let me close out with this question for you, which is this. You know, we have 9 months until the election. If Prop, if Trump manages to steal this election, to win this election, I talk about it every day on Woke AF, that this country, our democracy-ish, which is what it is for Black and brown people, for queer people, for anyone who is not white and wealthy and straight
light.
And Christian, it's democracy light. But if Trump gets in, do you think that people truly understand what will happen? Do you think that the consequences... like that, or that they think that we'll just be able to hang on like we did in the first 4 years?
No, I think I come from like history, social science, like educational background. And when you come from that, it's like, I can name offhand 10 democracies that collapsed. Like it happens all the time. Democracies collapse, you know, and nations collapse and they rebuild. I think that I find that any predictions are usually off the mark in either direction. Like, you know, I feel like it's not like the day after he gets elected, the world's going to go up in flames. And it's also not like nothing's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that the slow crawl, which clearly started decades ago into the collapse of the American democracy, and it'll become something else later. But, you know, the idea of an autocratic, you know, dictator, which he is like, this happens all over the world all the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's the death of an empire. We're really watching the slow death of an empire. It is what it is. I don't think people really understand what that means and how it looks and then how long it's going to take to, if we'll ever become an empire again, you know. I think that people have a much like shorter understanding of history than they than they should, you know, which to me actually gives me a little peace in the sense that, like, there is such thing as France. Like, Greece is still a country. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right,
those
right,
were
right.
collapsed democracies. Like, right, they've right, collapsed. Right. You know what I mean? And now, I mean, they still exist. You know what I'm saying? So I think in some senses, having a longer view of history, like, I'm like, in the same way that, like, when the meteor, the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs struck, you know, it wiped out life and then Earth was fine. You know what I'm saying? I think that there is that, like, it ultimately will be fine. Will we survive it? I don't know if we're gonna survive it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, but I think that, like, Trump, in the sense, again, going back to, like, why, like, I think Hoodst is, like, recognize it, is like, he's like, I'm gonna do what I said I'm gonna do. Like, I told y'all day one, I'm finna block you fools up. Like, that's, I don't understand. I told you that's what I was going to do. And they was like, he did what he said he was going to do, you know? So I think that, like, there's that. I do think that there's that reality. I think also think the reality that people are not accepting is the fact that he might win. That is a high possibility that he will win this election. Now I also get frustrated with the fact that people talk like y'all forget he lost 2020. Like that,
He did lose.
You guys, he lost. 100% lost. Y'all talking about him like he won. Like he lost. You know. So yeah. But yeah, I don't think people understand, like, the idea of, like, you could live in a fallen democracy. That is possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have loved this conversation so very much. Man. We will have to do more of these as we down to the election.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do some, like, reaction pods where, like, some go down and be like,
should.
Girl, how did you see this? Yeah.
We absolutely will. So this is the first installment crossover of Woke AF and Hood Politics. Prop, thank you so much. Been fantastic. Out.
Yeah, nah, I appreciate you, everything you're doing, the way you're bringing it. Like, this is dope. Thank you.
That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF. As always, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.